to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Places, everyone, places!
Welcome back to Kathy is In, everyone. This is Kathy DeBono. I'm your host. Nice to be back with you. My guest is dancing. I'm not going to tell you exactly who that is. If you're paying attention to the tweets, you already know. If you just tuned in, it's going to be a little surprise for you in a couple of minutes. I shouldn't have picked this theme music. I like it, and I just start to dance to it in the beginning of the show, and I just can't really do anything else. Today, we are going to talk about coming out at the holidays. Now, coming out doesn't have to necessarily mean you're coming out about being gay, although that's what we associate that phrase with all the time. When you're coming out, you're coming out about your sexual orientation, maybe about your gender orientation. It's usually about something that we're afraid people are going to judge us for. It could be anything. So we're wondering if you have anything you need to come out about, and if you're thinking about doing it over the holidays, because you really do sort of have a captive audience over the holidays. You have your family, you have your friends, you have everybody in one room that might not otherwise be in the same room. My mouth isn't awake yet, so it kind of tries to say whatever it wants to. But is it a good time? Is it a good time to do that? Now, those of you who know me or who have listened to me spew my thoughts on things for a while, you know that I always am in favor of coming out. I'm always in favor of you being your authentic self, whatever that is, and accepting yourself and only being in an environment and having a life where you're around people who accept you too and not standing for anything less. However, having said that, are the holidays the right time to come out to your family, or is it kind of like dropping a bomb on them? So I invited my guest here today to be with us because I feel like she and I have a lot to talk about in this regard, and it is my beautiful and wonderful girlfriend, actress Jill Bennett.
Hello. Hi, thank you. Wow, there's a lot of people in here.
So those of you who know us know that Jill and I are actors. That's how we met. That is my other life. I kind of live a couple of lifetimes in one life, as I think a lot of us do, if we stop and think about it, change careers, change interests. But I met Jill when we were filming a movie called And Then Came Lola. Actually, we met on a movie before that very briefly. Mm-hmm. But it was during And Then Came Lola that Jill and I got to really know each other. And then after that, we got to really know each other, if you know what I'm saying. were you trying to do this?
Yes.
You're very
wow. Nice. We have a drummer in here, too.
Isn't it fancy up in here?
It's fancy. There's people clapping and drummers.
Yes. Well,
yes.
So Jill and I, as you know, we have been out. We are as out of the closet as it can be.
We're annoyingly out, irritatingly out.
In terms of our sexuality, and we feel really connected to our community, and we want to be here for you. We want to talk about this. We know that many of you must be out there considering how to handle the holidays this season. We also know that there's a fraction of people out there that are out, but not really. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the glass closet. It's my family has known I was gay for 10 years, but they've never met my partner. She's not welcome at my house, or he's not welcome at my holiday dinner. And this we call the glass closet. It means you're out. They can see you, but your whole life is still under a rock or in a closet, and you're not allowed to share it. And we have sort of learned along the lines how to be comfortably and politically correct by being politely gay, or politely transgendered, or politely enter in the blank anything that's going to maybe make other people uncomfortable. If it's our authentic self, we do it, quote, politely by not having them see it. And I think this was a step that had to happen along the way towards tolerance of people's differences. You know, at first we had to start coming out of the closet and being gay or whatever the issue is by owning it, standing up to it, and then just shutting up about it. You know, not making anyone see our, quote, lifestyle. We shouldn't have to see two girls holding hands. We shouldn't have to see two guys falling in love. And we shouldn't have to have them at Christmas dinner. You can be gay, but you shouldn't have to exploit this in front of the whole family and make everybody watch you sit next to your girlfriend and eat mashed potatoes. That's horribly rude, and that's what I call the glass closet. That's what I call being politely gay. So whether you are trying to come out for the very first time or you are trying to push open the glass closet and really look for your equality within your family or your friends, wherever it is you're going to be for the holidays, and include your full self. We're wondering how many of you out there are in a situation like this and are considering what to do about it. Or are you considering just silently going through this holiday meal once again, being politely yourself and keeping all the authentic parts of you in a glass box where they will safely not offend anyone? So the number is 818-602-4929. And today, while we've already told you that Jill and I have been out as with our sexual orientation forever, today as a couple we have something to share with you that we've been in the closet about for about 8 weeks now. So we decided it was time to share this with our over the holidays with our other family, and that's you guys. So we're going to share it with you today on the show. But not just yet.
That was so American Idol.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now we cut to commercial.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're just going to stay here.
All right.
Okay. The number is 818-602-4929. And a part of what made me want to do this show today on this topic is I got a couple of letters from a couple of people who actually wanted to talk about this very thing. So let's read letter number one, Jill, and you and I will give our 2 cents. And callers out there, I really want to hear from all of you. I feel like this conversation is a community conversation we need to be having with each other. We need to be sharing with each other. We need to be pushing each other to be braver or reminding each other to be safer. And I want to encourage our community to stay together. So let's listen to this.
I also want to point out that, I mean, I know you sort of said this already, but it's not just coming out if you're gay or transgendered or whatever, or bisexual. It's also like, maybe you're changing careers. Maybe you're getting a new job. Maybe you've decided to leave, you know, whatever field you're in that pays really well because you're really, really unhappy. And there's going to be judgment from your family there too. You know, it's not just, it's basically any announcement that is going to cause some sort of discomfort in your family. That is a coming out of sorts. And, you know, personally, we'll get into this in a second. How many times are you actually gathered with your family in 1 year? How many times you have the opportunity to talk about something that's really important in your life to everybody in your family? So, I don't know. We'll talk about that in regards to the letters, but that's just something that I wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, coming out could be about anything. It's mm-hmm. that thing about you that you want to share with other people that they very well may not accept and may give you some problems about. And obviously sexual orientation is at the top of the list when you hear the phrase coming out, but it could be about anything. We invite conversation about all of that. So the number is 818-602-4929, and I'm going to read our first letter from someone named Lonnie. Dear Kathy, my name is Lonnie, and I'm 26 years old. I've lived with my girlfriend Jen for almost 3.5 years now, and we've been together for just about 4. We are so in love and truly a good match. I've never come out to my family as a lesbian. And then in parentheses, gosh, even the word lesbian scares me. Jen and I have been out to our friends and even with people at our jobs, but I've been afraid to upset the apple cart with my family. What has held me back for so long is that my father has political aspirations. He was a police officer, and after a long, successful career, he began participating in politics and gaining some success. Ever since that got started, the rest of my family sort of fell in line to support him by, well, not upsetting the apple cart. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place here. I'm finding that I've started to resent having to hide who I am to protect my father and my family. Ironically enough, it's resulted in my feeling truly outside of that family instead of a supportive part of it. It's time to come out and be my full true self. I feel that. I want my family to know Jen. I want the wholeness that my brother with his wife and that my younger sister has with her boyfriend and my whole family. My family is all together on Christmas Eve. For the last 3 years, I have participated in this dinner without Jen, and the thought of one more Christmas Eve apart makes me sick. Should I just bring Jen with me to dinner and make an announcement and get it over with, or am I being selfish? Thank you, and happy holidays. Love, Lonnie.
No, you're not being selfish. I just think that you need to, you know, pre-warn. I mean, don't just bring her. Tell, you know, what was that? Nice, nice to around the fence, honey. I like how you just open it.
That was the carbonation of my soda.
I think she absolutely has the right to want to bring her partner, number one. But number two, you don't just spring it on them. I mean, you have the conversation with even all the family members. You can send an email saying, look.
So you think she should come out to everyone who's going to be there over email before she gets there on Christmas Eve?
Well,
don't you think that's going to start a landslide of drama before the dinner even happens?
I guess, but it's also not okay for her to just show up with her. But it's also not okay for her not to be there with her.
Yeah. Well, one thing she didn't make clear was, does the family know Jen at all? Do they know her as her best friend or as her roommate? You know, I mean, seriously, her special friend.
Yeah.
How far into the family has she mixed already? She might be a real close friend of the family that they just haven't put two and two together, or she might be a total stranger.
Yeah.
So I think those two things figure into the equation of this question. I mean, if she were an embraced family friend already, it might be a little bit easier to say, I'd like to bring Jen to dinner and then sort of open a conversation at dinner. But to show up with Jen, if Jen's just a total stranger, I think that's kind of dropping a bomb.
Well, what I think then she should do is before the dinner, have her meet everybody, like just some, you know, like come visit the house and like come meet everybody.
But what if not everyone's going to be there?
Well, then I don't know. I feel like it's not fair to keep asking the gay child not to bring their partner because it's going to make people upset.
I absolutely agree. Well, Jill and I are going to keep pulling this apart, but I do want to hear from you out there. Who has any thoughts about this? It's 818-602-4929. Do you have any thoughts or questions for what Lonnie is talking about? I agree with you that it's not right to put ourselves on the back burner. It's also not right to shove ourselves down someone's throat. I think doing it gracefully and doing it diplomatically is really important. And I don't use the term shove it down your throat like gay has been used for so long. And people will say that just because they see a couple walking down the street holding hands. Well, why do they have to shove it down our throat?
Yeah.
I don't see that as shoving
it. Keep it in the bedroom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just walk next to each other and not touch so that you're... There was a video that went viral a few weeks ago from Maggie Gallagher, that stupid bitch who runs Mom.
Honey, you cannot say that word on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We are on WBLQ AM in Rhode Island.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Please apologize to the FCC as you speak.
I'm sorry, FCC, but she's a blank. Anyway, the point is, I don't care for this person at all. She put this video out around Thanksgiving about how to maintain your ultra right-wing, closed-minded point of view about, you know, homosexuality at family dinners in such a way so as to maintain the peace but still let people know you don't approve of gay marriage. It was so ridiculous, like trying to, you know, anyway, the point is people on the other side are, their talking points are always, you know, you don't have to shove it. Like, we don't agree with it. We have the right to say
Do whatever you want behind closed doors, but don't make me be a part of it.
Right.
That's been an accepted sort of step towards liberation in sexual identity for a long time now, in this country at least, where there's a generation of people that think they're very liberal by saying, I accept it and I tolerate it as long as it's behind closed doors and I don't have to see it.
Right.
Those people now need a nice wake-up call smack in the face where that's not okay anymore. And I think a huge amount of gay people out there in the world accept this and think that that is what they're supposed to do. They are lucky if they're accepted and asked to stay in the closet. I mean, there's a whole bunch of us out there that believe that as long as we don't get kicked out of the family and ostracized, anything else is acceptable.
There's a guy that I grew up with, named Eric, and we all kind of knew in high school that he was gay, or at least I did, and couldn't be sweeter, the nicest guy on the planet. And his parents literally do not accept. He's been in a relationship for like 8 years and has been living with his boyfriend, or I don't, they might be married at this point because he lives in New York. They would not let him bring him home ever. Like, his parents didn't even want to meet him.
Yeah.
This is their son's life partner, mm-hmm. the love of his life, and they have no interest in meeting this guy. And they make it clear to Eric, you cannot bring him home, ever. And I've encouraged my mom's friend, who is his aunt, I was like, that's not okay. Like, I don't know how you, because she doesn't agree with this. Mm-hmm. She's like, but my sister is really religious. I don't, you know, she won't even talk about
There's
it.
There's the R word.
Yeah, religious, because that gives you a pass. For some reason, like, well, if she's religious about it, well, then there's nothing we can do.
And as a sidebar, I really don't understand where human beings have decided anything that falls under the category of religion or religious belief gets a pass on anything.
I know.
Because if you think about any war, any violence, any pain, any suffering, pretty much, yeah, we just lost something in the earphones, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much any war or pain or suffering or struggle for power, religion's at the root of it.
Yeah.
Through the history of time, why as a race of people have we not woken up and gone, hey, religion seems to really interrupt actual spirituality?
Well, that's a whole nother topic.
I just think
people allow people to hide behind their religion. If you say, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian and I just don't agree with it, that's pretty much them shutting the door in your face and saying, I don't have to have an intelligent conversation because my religious beliefs tell me that this is not acceptable, and I don't even care if he's my son. Like, I want to take him and shake him and say, what is wrong with you? You need to cut. Like, I'm in favor of, if your parent actually goes to that extent, you cut the relationship off from them. They don't get to get just one part of you.
Okay, I'm going to dive in and be devil's advocate for you.
All right. Go ahead.
Don't you think that's a really harsh step?
No.
Don't you think there's a lot of steps to be taken beforehand you cut off from your mom and your dad?
8 years? Clearly, these people have no intention of changing. And he has tried to, you know, when they come into town, to bring them over to the apartment. And they say to him, if he's there, we're not coming over. And he literally takes photos down. He takes photos of mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Well, he's being essentially blackmailed by his parents.
Exactly.
I mean, if you don't do this, you will lose us. We will not participate in parts of your life if you don't do this. And I think as kids, when we grow up with our parents, we are so hardwired to keep our parents happy because they were our survival mechanism for the first 18 years of our lives. And that's just human animal instinct to keep your parents happy. You keep them happy, they're going to keep you safe. It's a survival instinct. I think we move into our adult life and we forget that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't need them to survive, but we need them to survive and be happy in a family, if we want a family. And so we make all of these crazy concessions for that. And the reason why I do radio shows on this topic, or video blogs like Jill and I have done, or even the show that Jill and I have done together, and this isn't a commercial for We Have to Stop Now, but it fits in to the topic we're talking about today. Jill and I made a series together that you can watch on the web. It's a comedy. It's also grounded in some true drama that people go through. And it's called We Have to Stop Now. And it is about this very thing. It is about a couple, a lesbian couple. And it was made to appeal to human beings, not to gay people. And if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I think it's really fun. I don't think you'll be disappointed that you spent a couple dollars to watch it. And you will see that it is about a lesbian couple in a relationship and all the trials and tribulations that they go through, and how it has nothing to do with being gay or straight. It just has to do with being human and in a relationship. And what Jill and I have found is, as we shared it with, you know, my old white 70-year-old uncle who was a lieutenant in New York forever, he watched it out of the love for his niece, and he said he could not relate to it more. This lesbian couple, he completely related to them, and he forgot he was watching a lesbian couple, and he was so proud of his niece for making this, but he was really blown away by how the same gay couples really are.
Yeah.
And I think that's behind bringing our families on board, is we have to not let them block it out anymore. We have to encourage them to allow in getting to know gay people, getting to know what gay relationships are, getting to know what our hopes and fears and dreams are with one another when we're in a relationship, so they can see it's completely relatable to their own world.
Right.
And for some reason, they want to put blinders on, like this is the way to protect themselves from that fear they have of the unknown.
Well, and my point in bringing up Eric's story was, is that, and I've said this before, and I feel, you know, like I'm repeating myself, but I feel very strongly that you have to start guiding the conversation. You have to take the reins and change the conversation, because his parents will never take,
of course not.
They will never willingly take the step forward. And I'm saying, after 8 years of him putting photos of him and his partner, if I were his partner, I would be like, your parents don't get to come visit here anymore. I live here. This is my life. He's being, I mean, I would not put up with that. There's no way. But my point is, he needs to turn it around on his parents and say, look, if you don't want to have an authentic relationship with me, you don't get to have any relationship with me.
Now, this is something that worked for you.
It worked for me, yes. My life story isn't nearly as extreme, but basically, my mom, you know, I came...
You had a glass closet situation.
Yeah, I lived in the glass closet. Like, I came out when I was 19, and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about it for the next couple of years, and then I got into a relationship, and I wanted to talk about it, and my mom, just every time I would bring it up on the phone, would change the subject or whatever, and I finally wrote her a letter, and I was like, look, I feel weird that I can't talk about this with you. I feel like there's this whole part of my life that you're not interested in. And she wrote me back and was like, I think you need therapy. I don't think you're gay. I don't accept this, which is funny.
I have
now
to laugh, because Jill is like the gayest girl I've ever met.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
So she basically said, I will never accept this. And I'm not going to talk about it. And so I, on a phone call to her, said, okay, then how about this? I don't talk to you until you can get over this. Like, I'm cutting off this relationship until you can wrap your head around this and talk to me, because I'm not going to live this life. I won't do it. And it's
painful.
Literally 20 minutes later, the phone rang and she's like, okay, I'm over it. Like, I will talk to you about this and I will learn to get over it. But it's like, I had to take the reins.
And sometimes it's that easy. Sometimes it just needs to be a little crack in the ice, like you did. Seems like that was, your mom just needed a little crack in the ice for her to go, okay, I get it.
Right.
And for other people, it's a much longer process. Like, you know, my process with my mom was not easy.
Yeah.
My process with my mom, and I've been listening to people's stories for, you know, 15, 20 years now, they're coming out stories, and as wonderful as my mom is, and my mom was the mom growing up where all my high school friends wanted to come to my house. Mm-hmm. And when we were hanging out at my house and, you know, sneaking booze, they wanted my mom to be around anyway. Like, my mom was that fun, cool mom where, you know, all the straight girls talked about their dating follies with the boys, and they could be honest about whether they were having sex yet or not. And my mom could stomach that and talk about condoms and safe sex. And my mom was great. She was amazing in every sense of the word. Really structured and loving mom, but also was able to give us enough freedom to talk about these things with her. It was wonderful. So the day came that I was going to tell her that I was gay and I'd fallen in love. I was 21, and I did not see this coming. My mom had a horrible reaction to it, and it took about 5 or 6 years for that to even have any movement in it. And we went through that process of the glass closet, where she would come visit me in LA, but wouldn't come over if my girlfriend was going to be home. And then I finally sort of tricked her into being around my friends and my partner while she was here in L.A. I kind of had her captive, because I realized, as I watched her for the 5 or 6 years, it was her ignorance to who we were that was keeping her afraid. She felt, if I get into a room with my daughter as a half of a lesbian couple, I'm not going to recognize her anymore. I'm not going to understand her. I'm not going to relate to her. I'm not going to know what to talk about. I'm going to be a stranger looking at my daughter, who is now closer to another woman than she is to me. Surprise, surprise, she had jealousy. She never saw it coming that she'd have to share me with another woman. She was ready to share me with a man, but she wasn't ready to watch. You know, she came over and saw my girlfriend cooking chicken cutlets. My mom has world famous chicken cutlets. You know this, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend at the time learned how to make them because she was trying to pay homage to my mom while she was visiting, mm-hmm, and make me happy. And my mom had real mixed feelings reaction to this. She was like, well, I'm the woman in your life that makes these chicken cutlets. And, you know, she couldn't understand all of her feelings. So it was important for me to be super patient with the things that she's, the ignorance that would come out of her mouth. Like, well, I had a gay cousin named Keith, and what he did is he just didn't make us talk about it. And somewhere along the line in her generation, that became the expected, accepted way to be a good gay person, mm-hmm, was to, maybe you could let people know about it, but then you kept all the rest of it to yourself. That was how you were a respectable gay
person.
Yeah,
you keep it behind closed doors, as people like to say.
Right, right.
Because
I didn't do that, my mom literally said to me, why did you have to tell me? Like, she literally believed that that was what selfish gay people did.
Right.
And that polite gay people just lived the life the way they needed to and let their family believe they were straight, because that was the polite and loving thing to do.
Well, and honestly, what I suggested to do is that's not an easy road. I mean, I've lost a lot of friendships in my life because of I take the stance of, if you don't love and support me fully 100% and believe that I deserve the same rights as you, I have no interest in being your friend.
Yeah.
And I am that black and white about it. Yeah. And, you know, some people don't agree with that. Some people say, well, you should continue to be friends with these people so that, you know, they can get to know gay people better and maybe they'll change their point of view. But my point of view is, life is too short for that. And I don't want to spend time trying to explain myself to people or beg for your acceptance or tolerance, which is a word I want to throw out the window.
Okay, so what do y'all think about this? We want to hear from everybody on all of these issues. It's 818-602-4929. And listen, we know this can be a sensitive subject. You can call in anonymously. You can use a fake name. You can say you're Fred Flintstone. That's okay with me. I just wanted to toss that out there, that we really want to hear from you. And we have a caller. Let's take this. Hello, welcome to Kathy is In. You're on with me and my beautiful guest, Jill Bennett. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Amy from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Hello.
I'm good.
So you're in San Antonio, huh? That might not be an easy place to be gay. I'm not sure. I don't know that city very much.
No, I have come out once, and one of my parents cried, and the other got really abusive. So
Amy.
It's an interesting experience.
So where do you stand now? What would you like to talk about?
Well, my parents they're divorced, so they didn't take it seriously, either one. And I was kind of wondering what I should do, because I think it's time, and I feel it's time to come back out again. None of my family's going to be there at Christmas, because they were all there at Thanksgiving, and I had to take a final for college. So,
oh, so you missed it.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship right now?
No, I am not. I have never had a girlfriend. I started out bisexual before I went to a lesbian.
Hear that, ladies?
But
there's a free Amy down there in San Antonio. Just waiting to meet you.
Baby.
I actually just discovered y'all on the internet, and I love what y'all have to say, but I don't know where to go or what to do, because here in this city, it is so cut off from everything else. Like, there are, when I say, like, no gays, like, there are gays here, but they don't take it well in San Antonio.
I understand.
So you don't have like a posse or a group of gay boys or gay girlfriends, is what you're saying. You don't have like a community.
No, I don't.
That's tough.
All my friends left once I came out.
Oh, Amy. Well, you know what I say to them? Good riddance.
Yeah, you need to find...
Yeah.
Those weren't friends. You know, you want your friends to stick around when the going gets rough.
What about on campus? I mean, is there no Gay Straight Alliance, or is there anything on campus?
There is one group. They meet occasionally, but I just decided to come back out, and they had stopped before finals, so
okay.
I missed it.
Well, my here's my suggestion. Obviously, the parent that got... you know, abusive with you, that's something you're going to have to tread carefully. The one who cried, that's a really common reaction. Was that your mom?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, that's common. And, you know, I think just about every... I've always felt, in my experience, what I've noticed with my gay friends is the same-sex parent takes it harder, typically. Like, if it's a gay boy, the father has a harder time, and if it's a gay girl, the mother has a harder time. That's typically how I've seen it go, because I think the parent looks at their same-sex child as a direct reflection of them in many ways. So crying is that's common, and I feel like there is an open door there. When we're talking abuse, that's a whole nother you know, ball of wax, but I would encourage you to try to discuss it with your mother again and say, you know, I know we talked about this before and I know it really upset you, but, you know, and I guess how I got to my mom was I said, I don't feel as close to you anymore because I can't talk to you about my life, and I miss having my mom be a part of this because you're so important and what you think is so important to me. And if you approach it that way, it lets her know that you're missing your relationship with her and that you feel her absence. And that is something that any mother is going to, I would feel a tug.
Yeah. You know, what I want to say, Amy, is, and to anyone listening, really, what you want to decide for yourself is how far are you willing to, how patient are you willing to be with the people in your life, in your family, whether it's your parents or siblings? How patient are you willing to be with what their journey is? Because, you know, I have to imagine that 9 times out of 10, we're dealing with a good person in our lives who loves us. And what we're running into is the fear of ignorance. And that's where fear springs up strongest for all us human beings. It's the fear of the unknown. And like I was saying with my mom with the chicken cutlets, she had a fear that there was a woman who was going to be closer to me than she was, and she never saw that coming, that would bother her. You know, she didn't understand it. And she has long since come to understand that it's a completely separate relationship, that she's my mother, I love her. Just because I you know, formed a tight relationship with another woman in my life doesn't mean that she loses that spot. She just didn't know what was her role in this relationship with my girlfriend. How was she supposed to be present? And I think she felt for a long time that there was no place for her in my life if I were a gay person. And I think that's what a lot of parents go through. They don't know anymore what they're supposed to do. They've all come from generations where they've had templates of their lives. You know, you get married, you have a wedding, you wear this kind of dress, you throw this bouquet, you hit something, borrowed something blue. Like, there's templates for the heterosexual life. There's no templates for having a gay family, and we are creating those now. And I think part of what we're charged with as a gay community, if we are invested in helping to exonerate the ignorance and move forward, not only in our families but on a grander scale of socially in the world, we have to adopt more patience about what we're running into with those people that oppress us immediately. We are running into their fear. So it's kind of twofold. You have to ask yourself, how committed are you to that person and your relationship with them? And how much patience do you have to help them realize that they're scared of the unknown and that they don't have to be? How patient are you to be there with them through that process? My mom is an amazing person when it comes to this, because my mom went through that process. And maybe I'll get her to come on the show next week while we're in New York, if I can get her to jump on the air with us.
Can I go back to you for a second? Ask, what did she express, like, why she was crying? Did she say anything, or did she just cry and not want to talk about it?
She's a very strong Christian, and I have to say I am stronger, but I don't want to be mean to her, but she was afraid that I was going to go to hell, but I've been trying to explain to her that Jesus still loves me, and, you know, there's nothing to worry about, you know, because I've read the whole Bible, and I know, but...
There's a documentary, and I know, I guess Kathy said there's a couple of people. There's a documentary I would encourage you to try to get to watch with her called For the Bible Tells Me So. And it is an amazing documentary that debunks the myths of, you know, anti-gay propaganda in the Bible, because it's just not there. Maybe you could sit down and watch that with her. Maybe you could get to that point.
There's also a book I want to point you towards that's been out for a very long time now called Now That You Know. And it was written by heterosexual parents of gay children who have been through this scary process of learning the news about their child and then trying to figure out what to do about all their fears and angst that came up. And each chapter is written by a different parent. And they wrote it in mind to be writing to other parents who are about to go through this process. And the book is called Now That You Know. And maybe you want to buy that for your parents as a gift. I bought that for my mom 20 years ago when I first came out, and she said she hid it under the mattress in her house and never looked at it. She didn't want any of her friends to see it.
I bought Ellen's mom's book, and it helped. But this documentary touches on exactly what your mom's fear is, which is you're going to hell and this is about Christianity. So, I don't know, take the bull by the horns and show her that you care and that you want to bridge this divide with her.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Let you go. Callers, we see you calling in. Please try again. If I'm on the phone, obviously I can't pick up for you, but the lines are open, 818-602-4929. We still want to hear from you. And Jill and I still do have some coming out of our own to do, but we're going to wait just a couple minutes on that. And we're going to also, what we're going to tell you is something that we're also going to do with my family in New York. Our tradition is to go home to my family's in New York for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, my mom knows our secret, and my sisters know.
Yeah.
But we are going to make the announcement to my entire family, which includes my mom's brother, his wife, their children, their children's children.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of different points of view are going to be in the room. So that's going to be an interesting conversation. 818-602-4929. Callers, please try back. I can see that maybe you got frustrated. I think that was a good suggestion, though, that movie that you told her. What was the name of it again? Let them know.
For the Bible Tells Me So, and right. it was really, really good. And it is specifically made for Christians, people who take the point of view that we were talking about.
Hi, caller.
Oh, hi.
Hi, what's your name? Oh, hey, can you turn down your...
My name's Jordan. I'm from the UK.
Hi, can you turn down your volume on your computer or your radio or whatever you got going on there? Okay.
One sec. It's kind of locked in, hopefully.
This is where I wish I had in my file of sound files. I wish I had the Jeopardy.
Okay,
it's
not better.
Like, do,
yes.
Are you back? Did you say your name was Jill, too?
No, it's not Jill. It's Jordan.
Oh, Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jordan? What do you have to say?
Okay, well, basically, I'm 16, and I came out about, I don't know, when was it? About 2 years ago.
Aww.
Congratulations. I hope it went well for you.
And I had a relationship for about nine months with a girl, same age as me. And because she was straight, and we got together, and because everything was just, like, piling up on top of it because she wasn't out to her mum.
Right.
But her mum kind of knew, but she wouldn't let us, like, be together, you know what I mean? Like, she'd let me to her house, but she'd tell everyone that we was just friends, and, like, when we was out in public and stuff, we was just friends.
Sort of like a glass closet situation?
Sorry, what?
So I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand. Her mom knows she's gay, or she doesn't
her mum knew that she was gay, but, she had to, like, pretend she was straight in front of everyone else, apart from her mum.
Was that her choice?
When we were in her house, it was okay. We were gay, but we weren't allowed to hold hands, and we weren't allowed to do anything like that. She didn't believe that we ever did anything.
I have to say that part of that is probably because at the age of 16, you guys look like children to the rest of us.
Yeah.
So I know that you're having relations out there.
I just have to say, I just want to grab your cheeks and pinch them because your accent is so adorable. It's so cute. And you're 16 and you're out. I love that. I love, love, love
so
that.
So do you have a question about all this, Jordan?
Do I have a question?
Right. Or did you just want to share, which is perfectly
No, I just
wonderful.
Wanted to share. I sent a letter in, but you didn't read it out, so I was like, I'll call up.
All right. I love that persistence. Well done.
Well, all I have to say is good for you for knowing who you are and coming out. And then
at 16, how
at
wonderful.
At 16, that's amazing. And the second thing is she's not straight, but that's just that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But I think you know that.
Okay, well, anyway, I love you, Jim and Kathy, because, you know, you're amazing.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for calling. The number's 818-602-4929. We're talking about coming out at the holidays. Is it a good or bad idea? So, you know, we never gave Lonnie an answer.
We were all over the place on
I
that
think,
one.
But I think, you know what, and Jill and I were talking about this in the car, and I said to her, you know, coming out is such an important thing to keep talking about until we reach a day where it's not required anymore, and we will sometime in the future, you know, decade or two from now. Who knows how long that will take in social change. But it's so important to keep talking about it because everyone on the planet, when sitting down to assess where, when, and how, and if they should come out, is dealing with a completely different math equation than everybody else. It's not a universal process. Mm-hmm. You're in a different part of the world. You're in a different territory. You're under different political, religious beliefs. You have parents from different parts of the world, or of different generations and different social beliefs. And it's a completely different individual process for every single person. And that's why these conversations are important, because you need to process all of this out to be able to figure out what's best for you. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I hear myself babbling in the background.
I muted it.
Thank you. Who's calling? What's your name?
This is Cherie in Northern California.
Hi, hello, Cherie.
Is this the Cherie that we know?
Yes.
It is.
Hello, Cherie.
I recognize the voice. Hello, Cherie.
Welcome. Thanks for calling. Hi. What's going on with you?
Well, I just wanted to add to the conversation. I came out years ago, as did my girlfriend, and both of our parents knew that about us before we even got together. And once we did, my girlfriend's mother was not a happy camper about her orientation. And I guess going back for the holidays, it was a little difficult going to her family's house, but I guess I could say I wore down her mother long enough and tried to get on her good side, and finally it's all accepting. So I think for your letter writer, maybe if she's just persistent in bringing her girlfriend around to the holidays and the family functions, and they'll wear them down.
I like that. They'll wear them down.
Thank you, Cherie. So, Cherie, thanks for calling in. I think Cherie is recommending good old-fashioned charm.
Yeah, she is.
She is. And you know what? That's not... honestly, we have to remember this on our side, too. It's not all that very different from straight spouses. We have to, you know, when you're in a straight relationship, you have to go in and win over the parents. You have to go in and win over the siblings. There's a level of having to win over the situation. It's just we're dealing with a whole other level first.
Right.
And I think the key, as Cherie pointed out, and as it's sort of come up throughout the tone of the show, the key is helping alleviate their ignorance. It is the ignorance that is making them afraid. And when they ask us to not bring our partner around, when they ask us to keep things to ourselves, they're asking us to keep them safe from the fear that arises when they're facing something that they're ignorant of.
I think a good tactic is to ask questions. You ask questions of them and say, what is, you know, clearly I see that you're uncomfortable about this. Why are you uncomfortable? What are you worried about?
Open dialogue.
An open dialogue, but you have to take the reins. You have to attack this issue because they're just going to sit there and be uncomfortable and cross their arms.
They're going to crawl under their rock and they're going to be pissed off at you from asking them to come out from underneath it.
Right.
And you just have to have patience with helping them through their ignorance. Hi, caller.
Hi.
What's your name?
This is Mary, also in Northern California.
Hello, Mary.
Well, hello.
Welcome to the show. What would you like to say?
I totally agree with Jill, and I had this question come up here last week about, I feel I've kind of taken steps in my life to, like, get rid of the people that are, like, I had a girlfriend for about 5 years, and she just wasn't really embracing the life, and, I don't know, I just don't feel like it's my job to convince people one-on-one, but I have a friend who's going home to Christmas, in Orange County from an extremely conservative family, and wanted me to come with her through this process, and I'm just like, you know, I don't really want to ruin my Christmas. I mean, it'd be different if she was my partner, or if I don't know. What do you think about supporting a friend in that situation?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought of this. So you're free for the holidays, and you have a lesbian friend who's not a lover but a friend who has asked you to come home with her to help her come out to her family?
Yes. I mean, obviously to be a support, and I get that, but it's just such a situation that I don't
Well, are you, I mean, how, it sounds like you've been out for a long time and you're very comfortable with yourself.
Yes.
Okay, well.
I'm
totally on the side with you about, I don't know, I'm trying to convince her to just take the initial side of power right away, like, this is, you know, it's your decision if you want to be in my life and all this, but
Well,
It's so hard.
I don't know that I want to be there and deal with the situation.
Yeah. You've got kind of two layers to your situation, which is one, what do you think of me going on and being a supportive friend in this situation? And to that, I would say, I bet she feels real empowered by you when she's around you because she can see the parts in you that she relates to, and you handle them with ease and with a lack of anxiety that I'm sure empowers her to be around. The other side of it is, this is your Christmas too, and maybe it's not the right time for you to deal with this. Maybe you want to be like, look, I'll go home with you in February. I'll go home with you in March when it's not such a big... The other thing about the holidays is they are an intense time. Everyone's feelings are heightened. I mean, any family member we have that's passed, that's not at the dinner table, we're all missing that person. There's a level of anxiety that comes up in a number of ways around the holidays. So that's part of this question too. Is it a good time or a bad time to add this fuel to the fire? But in your case, I would say you've got to decide if that's how you want to spend your time. And I don't blame you if you'd rather not do that over Christmas. That's an intense dynamic. But maybe you want to offer to be there for her at a time when the dynamic won't be so intense so that you can enjoy your holiday and then be there for your friend later.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's maybe a good...
It just sounds like she knows you have the answers to a lot of the objections or questions that these people are going to bring up, because honestly, the person in the hot seat, you lose your brain when you get nervous and you get upset, and these people that you care about are having these issues. Sometimes you have all the answers when you're sitting with your friends, but as soon as you're in the hot seat, suddenly you forget. She's obviously looking to you saying, I know she's going to have the answer to these questions or these objections, and that's why she wants you there. And that I can understand. I actually think...
I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. I just think the timing...
I think your friend was right on in turning to you and asking for that support. Asking you to do that with your Christmas maybe was a little bit much to ask of you.
And unless she's going to, like, take you on a vacation afterward or something, then I would do it. But, yeah, that might be tough at Christmas.
Okay. Hey, caller, thank you for calling
in. Thank you so much. That's a great question.
So we are almost out of time, and Jill and I still have not done our coming out. Do you think it's time for that, honey? First, I want to share with them the little gift that we want to give them. Here's the thing. The show that we did, We Have to Stop Now, we'd love for you guys to see it. If you haven't seen it, we think you'll enjoy it. If you have family or friends that you are being patient with and helping them to accept what it's like to be a gay person, helping them to learn what it's like to be a gay person so that they can exit their fears of ignorance, I gotta say, We Have to Stop Now is a really fun little show for that. There's no overt sex that's gonna scare people away. There's no gay dildo jokes. It is specifically made for gay people to enjoy with their straight family because it specifically stays focused on the relationship and family issues of human beings, and it's done so as you watch a lesbian couple. And I'm telling you, I've had a lot of people walk away from that who have taken the time to watch it, who've gotten back to me and said, wow, that was so relatable and I never expected it. And I think that's really the key towards social change and change in our families, is that they understand we are just like them. We've run out of time for any calls. We want to give you a coupon code for that. So if you go to wehavetostopnow.tv, honey, what's the coupon code? Are you looking at it?
The computer turned off. I sent you a text message.
Don't lie.
Oh, a text message.
It's in your text messages.
Oh, I thought it was in my email.
For goodness sake. The code is capital letter E, the number 9, the number 2, the number 1. E921. If you go to wehavetostopnow.tv or just whtsn.tv, you can get a prescription from now through January. It's not a drug.
It's a drug.
You don't need a prescription. You can get a subscription from now through January 2nd for 30% off. So maybe these are good gifts. Maybe you can send one to your mom.
Yeah.
We've only got 2 minutes to come out.
Oh, boy.
And we got to tell you, we're going to come out. We've been keeping this secret for 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful story that we can't share with you until the spring, but we'll share with the world in the spring. Ooh. That sounds nice and mysterious,
yeah,
right?
Doesn't it?
All right. So on October 24th, something wonderful between us happened. Honey, why don't you tell them?
We got engaged. Yay!
I love that little soundbite. Yes, Jill and I got engaged on October 24th, and we have not told the public yet, but
no.
We wanted to share it with you over the holidays. We just wanted to come out to you before the holidays, and we hope you have a great holiday. I want to thank my sponsors, blagaspot.com, luckydogleather.com, discoversweet.com, and of course, wehavetostopnow.tv. Go get your subscription from now through January 2nd for 30% off. Capital letter E, number 9, number 2, number 1. E921 is your code. We will see you back here next Tuesday. I'm going to see if I can get my mom to come on and have her tell her story. What do you think? You think she'll do it? Honey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we lost Jill.
No, I didn't know I was allowed to talk.
If you're listening on Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. If you're listening at Transformation Talk Radio or on WBLQ AM in Rhode Island, please stay tuned for the Kathy is in 5-minute feature from one of my favorite bands with a woman and a beautiful voice, two women with beautiful voices, Trusting Lucy. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Well, this has been an evening to remember.
What?
I forgot.
Listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Kathy is in 5-minute feature.
Trusting Lucy.
How hard can this be? Holding you close to me, even though you're not here. I feel you everywhere. How ridiculous.
something new to show me. I love to watch your mouth, and your eyes have figured me out that I'm crazy. Crazy. Thoughts at bay, but in my mind I escape on a silent wave.